Has anybody got a testimony they want to share tonight before we start?
Well, I'm here safe and sound.
That's right. What a blessing, eh?
Yeah. Missed flights, tornadoes, we've seen quite a bit. But God's been good.
He has.
Never once was I upset, and we were saying to Andrew earlier on today, if you remember a year or two ago when I was quite ill with that nervous exhaustion, to the extent that sometimes I couldn't even go out of the house, but I wasn't bothered when the tornado, even though it was only a mile away, I wasn't upset. Mm. Obviously I was being sensible and watching, because the Doppler radars they have there means that you can see exactly where it is, how close to you it is. So that was on TV, so we were watching its general path and its progress, and so it was good that it can be a mile away and you're not fearing for your life or being worried or concerned.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, like I said, common sense. Mm. And then coming home, the flight from Tulsa to Atlanta, as it was arriving to Tulsa before I got on it, it had a bird strike, so they had to examine the plane, obviously, because we only suck a bird in the engine. Doesn't do you very much good. And so eventually they decided it was taking too long, so they wheeled another plane out. Well, that takes quite a while as well. And so consequently, by the time I got to Atlanta, my flight left at 9:50 and I arrived at the gate at 9:51, and it had gone, because unlike most of the other flights, it weren't delayed. And so that was a good opportunity, of course, to think, I'm going to be stuck in the airport all night, I've got no flight, what the heck shall we do? Wasn't bothered, went straight to the desk, sorted my flight out, and before I asked about if there was any chance of a hotel, he gave me vouchers for hotel, vouchers for meals, vouchers for transport, and like, just keep bringing it on. So, I mean, it was good that you could be safe and looked after and felt that it cared, but as I thought about it later, realising the state I was in a few years ago, not even to be worried or concerned,
that's God.
Tells me that I'm well. And it's like, thank God, you know, you've healed me, and that's the evidence of it.
Yeah.
And if I'd not had to go through that situation, maybe that realisation might not.
The place where you were staying, you know, other friends. Have they got somewhere they can go with?
Only inside a closet. This winter. Surprise, surprise. Well, you saw the pictures.
The bathroom.
The bathroom.
And
this winter they're going to have a proper storm shelter underground in the garage.
I know, because I was watching it and some of them had got these storm shelters, you know. So have they lived through one? But these friends that you've been staying with, have they lived through a tornado or?
Well, they've lived through them coming nearby. Never actually had one hit.
No.
So that was
nearby. Is close enough, isn't it?
You could see it.
Oh yeah,
black as ink and coming down. Right. Yeah. Coming down.
Well, we've seen close by when we were there one time, didn't we?
Yeah.
We can understand why it's iron.
Yeah, you were sat in October.
Right, sunshine, and all of a sudden this siren goes off.
When they said you're supposed to go to
an air raid siren, what's an air raid siren going off for? I said, can't be a storm. I said, look at the sky, it's blue. Anyway, we've been in October that long, we were already shrivelling up. So we said, well, we better go and get showered. So I went and got ourselves showered and dressed. And next thing, I peeked out through windows and I could see these dustbins going down street. And rain at 45 degrees. And I thought, that's strange. Look round back and there's this bit of a small lake that were out back where they used to... Yeah, and it was filling up and filling up and filling up. I thought, I'll have to be bailing out in a bit of this rain. But it moved on. Of course, we didn't realise at the time it was a tornado just passing by, close by.
That's what the siren was about. Well, they never told us.
Nobody told us if that was, you know, siren went off to let you know there's a tornado coming.
The funny part about this was the siren went off. But it went off when it was like a mile away. It's like, bit more
warning
perhaps.
What can you do now?
Yeah, God's good, isn't he?
He is. I'm sure when we get to heaven we'll find he's protected us from lots of stuff we were unaware of.
Yeah, I'm sure. Anybody else?
Well, I shall share that grace.
Yeah, you do it, Joe.
Well, my daughter hasn't been able to come this weekend because she's working, and I think sometimes you think, oh, you know, nobody's coming to see you and this, that and other. Poor me sort of thing, you know. So anyway, I was thinking about, she come on Monday night, but she only stopped about 5 minutes, because it was gone six and she wanted to get home. Anyway, yesterday morning I was thinking about it, and the Lord says to me, what you're doing is, I'm like, when Rita went there, she didn't bother, she says, I don't know anybody around here, so I've got to get going out and meeting people. So she started going to bingo and things to meet people. And she knows more people than me now, we go in there, just go out to meet people. So anyway, what the Lord put into my mind yesterday was about the beggar that was begging at the side of the gate, beautiful, when Peter and John, was it, went there. And it made me, it said to me, that I'm like a beggar that's waiting for people to give me things, you know, waiting for people to come.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm waiting for things. Instead of being a king and giving things out, I'm waiting, they're in house, oh, come to me, come to me, come to me, sort of thing. And that's what come to me yesterday when I was just sat thinking, I didn't think really thinking about it much, but just thought about it, and that suddenly come to my mind. I thought, yeah, the Lord's telling me that you don't sit waiting for people, you're not a beggar. You don't need to wait for people. You've got to go out and you've got to do your ministry sort of thing. You know?
Absolutely.
So
oh,
that's what come to me yesterday.
Yeah, that's good.
And it was a follow-on from Sunday, wasn't it? Because you've got the knowledge.
Oh, yeah,
the wisdom.
Yeah, because that's what I said to Grace. I said, what it is wisdom seems to me is what how you handle the knowledge, isn't it? That's how you handle it. What knowledge you get with wisdom shows you how to put it into practice.
That's right, absolutely.
So
that's good, then.
You can gather your knowledge, but your wisdom shows you how to put it into practice.
Well, I've just opened this little Bible I brought with me, and the light of the body. The eyes are like a lamp for the body. If your eyes are sound, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are no good, your body will be in darkness. So if the light is in you is darkness, how terribly dark it will be.
Yeah.
Just read that little bit.
Just read that little bit, that last bit here.
Yeah. So if the light in you is darkness, how terribly dark it will be.
Yeah. And what that really is meaning is that Jesus said, hey, he's the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So if we focus on him, then the light of God comes into our lives. But if we focus on the world,
mm-hmm.
right, and the things of the world, and the satanic ways, and the sin of the world, that light is darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So if we focus on darkness, then our very souls become dark.
Yeah.
If we focus on God, our very souls
mm-hmm.
become light.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so, and Jesus said, you are the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing is that we have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, fixed on the Word of God, because that is where our light source is, and it feeds us because we're connected to him. And it says in John's Gospel that he's the vine and we're the branches, and and the vine provides the life to the branches. And in that sense you can say the vine provides the light to us, the branches. And see, the light is in us. We're not looking for outside light. It's the light that is in us that keeps us at peace, even in difficult situations. Keeps us at rest when things are coming against us, because the light, the presence of God, light in Scripture really is symbolic of the presence of God. That's why Jesus said, I am the light of the world. That's the presence of God. When God led the children of Israel on a night time out through the wilderness, he was a fire which was light. And so they were led by the light. And so light is symbolic of truth, and it is also symbolic in the sense that If you've got a light, you won't fall down, will you? And so by keeping the light in you and coming into the light and reading from the light and spending time with the light, it increases you, and you and I grow in the light. And then people look at us and say, what's different about you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we need to go out.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are the light of the world. And if we don't go out, how are they going to find out? If we don't tell them, how are they going to find out? You are here because somebody's told you. Isn't that right?
That's right, that's right.
Yeah? And I know in some cases people have heard, like people like Billy Graham, but somebody invited us to go to Billy Graham, didn't they?
Mm.
So they were the light that led us. For me, it was slightly different in that some non-Christians told my mum and dad about a healing service that was going on. These are non-believers. But my dad had tried everything and got no good results. And I went along for the ride. That's all. But that's when I heard all about Jesus, and the light of the world came into me. And I've always said, I'm going to keep telling people. Because in one sense, I found out through somebody else telling us, saying it, speaking it. You found out because somebody stopped you and talked to you, didn't they?
Yes, grace.
Yeah, so...
God's always saying, isn't he? Don't hide your light under a bushel.
Exactly.
Roy invited me here, didn't he?
He did, absolutely. You know, it says about your light, if you want it to be effective, you put it on a lampstand, don't you? So that the light emanates. And there's trouble today is there are many people who are Christians, not disciples, Christians. Because a disciple will be one who's spreading the light, who's sharing the light. Christians are people at the moment, they've still not made their mind up.
Well, they're halfway.
They're in a halfway mode.
Because
we need, you know, one of the things that we have to overcome our fears. And I speak to myself, because when I was younger, I was a fearful child. And so we have to overcome our fears. And the way we overcome our fears is through the Holy Spirit coming into our lives. And he makes us bold. He gives us a boldness. And he gives us power and authority. And so the Holy Spirit is very important to the disciples, because it empowers them. It gives them strength to witness. And you have got nothing to be ashamed of.
Absolutely not.
Not a thing. I didn't say you were perfect, but you've got nothing to be ashamed of.
No.
Because our perfection comes through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we're in the process of being perfected.
Mm.
We know we haven't arrived yet. Close to it, but we haven't arrived yet. And God's working on us.
Getting better and better.
It's getting better,
oh,
that's
man.
Right. Yeah.
Takes
and,
time,
and so,
doesn't it?
For us, you know, we have to share the gospel. We have to share the gospel with people. Whether they receive it, that's not your problem, right? It's like the farmer who goes out and he ploughs his field, doesn't he? He gets it all ready to receive the seed. And the word that we have, the word of God, is the seed. Our testimony is seed. So every one of us has got a bag of seed, right? And so as the farmer takes his bag of seed and goes out into the fields, and what does he do? He casts it out and just throws it. He don't stand there and get a measuring cup and think, oh, so much, and I'll just sprinkle this bit here. He just keeps casting it out from side to side, side to side. And Scripture tells us, some will fall on stony ground. Some will fall on ground where there's thorns and briars. Some will fall into good ground. The farmer don't go around and think, oh, look at that, that lot's fallen on stony ground. I'll pick it all up and I'll take it somewhere else. No, he leaves it. And with a, you know, with a possibility that that might do a work somewhere in somebody's life. We are not responsible for what the seed does. The life is in the seed. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The life is not in the farmer. The life is actually in the seed.
Yeah. Exactly.
Our responsibility is to take that seed that's life and cast it out into people and then let them do what they want with it. And if it finds good ground, if it rests in their heart, it'll begin to grow. And then we see the results of the seeds that have been sown in people's lives. And so you have nothing to be ashamed of.
No.
God's not ashamed of you.
No.
And no matter what people think about you, I know of this much, I know what God thinks about you.
Yeah.
And he thinks you're wonderful.
That only matters what he thinks, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's right, because in the end, he's the judge.
Yeah.
He's the one who decides what's going to happen to you and to me.
Mm. That's why I started going, because I knew I had done so much good, you know.
Mm.
And I thought, right, then. She said, get signed to me, didn't you, you know, come like. And I mean, if I'd had a bit more time, I would probably have come sooner, but, you know, I thought, well, I'm going to have to make time, you know.
Yeah.
And we do. Mm. I mean, yeah. I have come to a place now, well, I've been at this place for a long time, really, in the sense that you make time for God.
Mm.
In fact,
you were saying this week where she's been staying, they're saying we don't have time for church. Whoa. You know, now the Bible says forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. What do you mean you don't have time for church? That should be the top of your list.
Mm.
You've heard me say before, when I was a student and studying, I didn't miss church to go and do my studies.
Oh,
I did my studies when I weren't at church. I made sure I went to church. And I went to church when I was at university. I went Friday, Saturday, and 3 meetings on a Sunday. During the week when I was living away, I didn't go to church, because I didn't have a local church that I was really connected with. But when I came home on a weekend, which I managed to do every weekend, as soon as I got home Friday, it was church Friday night, church Saturday night, and then 3 services on Sunday. I didn't miss it, did I?
No.
Well, you grow together.
Absolutely.
You don't grow staying at home.
No, no,
no.
No,
you don't.
And another thing about this growing together, it's like if... we that have experienced coal fires, if you light a coal fire, you put coals on, don't you, and they all get going and glowing, don't they, and they burn away, don't they? But if you take one of those coals off and put it on the hearth on its own, what happens to it?
It
goes out, doesn't it? It dies.
Yeah.
But you pick it up and put it back into the fire with the others, and it begins to glow and to give out the heat, which is what it was made to do. And so in the same way, the same principle is, if we stay away from one another and the presence of God, there is a certainty that we'll die out.
Mm.
It talks in Revelation about the church, it's lukewarm. And what does it say? God says, I will spew you out of my mouth. That's what it says. And so, in reality, for all of us, and I know this can be challenging to some people, but there's no room for being lukewarm.
No.
God said, I would rather have you hot or cold.
Do you know, I've been studying all this all afternoon.
Well, that's not the subject for tonight, by the way. So you've probably got 2 messages for tonight, actually.
All this, what you're saying, I've been studying all afternoon and doing it and enjoying it. Just understanding about when you're born again and what you do and how we can screw you out. All these things, what you've said, I've studied and I've...
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, God's wanting, you know, the only way people will find Jesus is when they hear the voice.
We all bounce off of each other, and we all get something from, when we go away from here, we've got something from each other, haven't we?
We are.
We take it with us. you know.
Well, I would just say this afternoon, because it's amazing how God works with us, because I've been quite enjoying studying this and just really understanding it and really typing it out to sort of read. And I thought about doing it to help anybody really understand what it is about being a Christian and what you need to do and how you need to study that. Mm. And I will be lukewarm, he'll just spew you out, and it don't put it, don't beat about the bus,
no,
but it says it, does it?
No. You're one thing or the other.
Yeah.
You're in or out.
And by reading
there's no sitting on the fence.
No, exactly.
Lukewarm can be like sitting on the fence. Yeah.
Put yourself in.
You either jump down and get onto the right side, or you jump down and get on the wrong side. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
There isn't a grey line. It's black or white in that sense.
That's someone saying, I know, but I don't bother, innit?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, aye, that's right.
I've heard that before. Yeah, I know, but I don't bother.
And I find it sad, because, you know, these people, I've known them for many years, and one time they're really on fire for God.
But a lot of people are saying, I don't want to be in a church because I can't find a church where it meets my needs.
It's not what churches are for.
That's not what church is about.
No.
That's the bulk of it. That's the main reason, I think, what people will say as to why they don't go to church.
The temple, right, the temple of the Old Testament was not to meet the needs of the people in that sense. The temple and the temple worship and the temple sacrifice was that the people brought their offerings, their animal sacrifices for their sins or for whatever it was about. They brought these animals and they brought them to the priests that they might sacrifice them unto God, that they might then receive the blessing and be in the right place through the blood sacrifice, because that was the Old Testament direction and rules.
Yeah,
and it was about worshipping God. It weren't about what you can get.
No. It was about bringing your sacrifice. That your sacrifice was an actual worship unto God, because it was costly.
Yeah.
Right. And you see now, it isn't the temple sacrifice. There is no more blood sacrifices. But the sad thing is, there's no more sacrifice of one's time and effort and an intent for the word, and to spend time together building up the body, building one another up in the most holy faith, the word says. And really, this is where, I mean, I hear people say, well, I don't have to go to church. That's what you think.
That's not what God says.
But that's not what God says. You know, the word talks about not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Because coming together, you bring what God has shared with you today. You bring what God has shared with you today. You bring what God has shared with you today. You bring what has happened. And all these things build and encourage one another in the most holy faith. Because not one of us has got everything, have we?
No.
It doesn't work that way. But together we make the body of Christ.
We do.
And so as we come together with the word of God living and breathing in us, and listen, God speaks to every one of us.
He does.
We teach that and we believe that God will speak to every one of his children, no matter what age they're at.
Yeah.
Right? He will speak to them. He doesn't wait while you get to a certain age before you talk to him. That's not how you teach a child, is it? You know, it takes a while, doesn't it? And in the same way, God is constantly speaking to us. We may not always understand what he's saying, but that does not mean he's not speaking to us. He is always seeking to speak to his children.
Yeah.
No matter what age, no matter what position you are, he wants to speak to you.
Yeah.
And then as you mature and grow, you learn to talk back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so then there's that conversation that goes on, and there's that growth in you all the time. And this is what God is doing in it, wants to do in our lives. And let's be truthful. If the church is to grow of Jesus Christ, then it has to be by word of mouth.
Yeah.
And it's okay saying, well, we've got God TV this and God TV and we've got Revelation TV and they're doing all these things. But I know people who say, well, I don't have to go to church because I can watch
I get mine off the TV. But there is no interaction with anybody.
You don't get a cuddle like we do.
No, they don't get to relate. And you see, let's be honest, sometimes I might say things... If I was on TV and I said something and somebody didn't like it, do you know what they can do? They can pick the remote up and swap channels, can't they? Mm-hmm. And they don't have to listen. Same with on the internet. If they don't like what I'm saying, if they don't want to hear it all the way through and find out where we're coming to, where we're coming from and where we're going to, they'll turn it off. Mm-hmm. Because they disagree. Just because we didn't tickle them in the right area, mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry, that's very sad, because that is narrow-mindedness. Mm-hmm. Because all wisdom comes from God.
Yeah.
And we have to learn to listen and to weigh these things. Mm. And we've had things, you know, God has revealed things to us that are, first of all, it's like, wow, is that right? And then as we seek and study the word, we find that it's true. Mm. And we develop and grow. And so, to say you can stay at home and watch TV and get spiritually filled, there is a measure of truth in it, but it's certainly not the whole truth. And it is not the replacement for church. It's an addition that helps boost you and encourages you, possibly takes you further on if you study the word. Mm. But some people are using it as church. That's not church.
We're made up of lively stones.
That's what the Bible says.
And one will chafe against another sometimes, and it develops character in us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not always going to see eye to eye with somebody. Well, get over it, grow, get beyond it, but don't run away from it.
No.
And that type of thing you can develop in a body.
Mm. Iron sharpens iron.
Iron sharpens iron.
Oh, you know, when iron sharpens iron, there's a few sparks going.
There is. Inevitable.
But people don't seem to take it seriously, do they?
No.
They think it's... you're just going to church, you know, and that's it. They don't seem to realise it's... life and death sort of thing.
It is.
It's relationship.
Yes.
But their opinion of church, their idea of church, is an entertainment.
Mm.
And it's not about entertainment. It's about participation. You don't come to be entertained from the front. You come to bring your offering, to give, to share what God has said to you this week, because we're all unique. Mm. And God will say something different to Bill, and he'll receive it in a different way and interpret it differently to what I would, the same thing. So our uniqueness comes into play, doesn't it? Because we come and we share what we've got.
Mm. Linda, we said God will be there with a couple, won't he, and more. Do you know what I mean? Even if there's two of you, God can be there.
Yeah.
You know, even on television, you can see these little, about small churches, isn't there?
Yeah.
And there's
this
only
is
like
where
four
two or three gather together, there
yeah.
I am,
yeah.
In the midst.
In the midst of them, yeah.
I mean, I opened today a Christian magazine, trade magazine, and I think it was one of the singers from a group called Delirious, which is actually finished a few years ago, has now come back and he's released his first album. And the heading of this article in the magazine is, whatever his name is back on God's dance floor. And I went, what? Back on God's dance floor.
And you wouldn't want to be delirious anyway. That's
another.
No,
and I thought to myself, what are we on with? There's no depth. There's no depth. It's entertainment constantly. Mm-hmm. We want to be entertained.
Yeah.
Well, you had a little bit of entertainment on Sunday, didn't you?
Yeah.
Made you laugh a few times and. You interacted with it as well, so that was your entertainment in that sense, I suppose. But for me it's about a togetherness.
Mm.
Yeah.
Feeling comfortable.
Yeah, and moving forward in God.
And if you can have a little laugh, then you feel closer, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to learn something in that.
Yeah.
But you see, it is about the body. The whole body functioning, right?
Mm.
Now, for instance, if you decided to go for a walk, and one of your muscles in your legs said, "Well, I'm not coming,"
What's going to happen?
You can't walk.
You know, you're going to be hobbling along that and fall down before, you know. So when one of you must, oh, I've had enough, I'm not coming. You know, what's this all about? You'd be thinking this, something needs sorting out, wouldn't you?
Mm.
You know? Or if suddenly you're walking along and your right hand just comes up and slaps you in the face. Whoa, what's this all about? So, well, right hand says, well, I just felt like slapping you. I don't want to go for a walk, or I don't want to do this. And suddenly, you know, there's this, that's not unity, is it?
Yeah.
And the Bible says where the brethren dwell together in unity, there God commands the blessing, life forever. You see, it's a command,
yeah.
Not just a promise,
or
it's
maybe.
A command, or, it's not, or a maybe. No, you're right there, it's not a maybe or might, it's a command. When you dwell together, God commands the blessing. So if you're not dwelling together, then God can't command a blessing.
No.
Think about that one. And so when, but, so if you sit separately, in the sense that you don't go to church and you just think, oh, watch TV, get it from TV, God's not commanding the blessing.
Well, you'll get into the flesh for one thing.
Well, the problem, as I said, the thing is, you're in the flesh. The moment you say, "Oh, I don't agree with that. I'm not going to watch that," and you flick channels, you're in the flesh, and you're in rebellion, because you've actually come to a point where you've got an unteachable spirit.
Yeah.
And people that come to church and then decide to fall out with the leadership because they can't agree with what they're teaching, and there's possibly nothing wrong with it. It's just that I don't agree with it, or they've not listened it through. Or I don't want to change, you see. And if you don't want to change, then you're living in rebellion. Because the process is that God changes not, but we change. And we're being changed from glory to glory. That's what to glory, that's what the word says. So the word of God is actually about changing you and me in a developing process. If you want a similar thing, is steel, not steel, silver. To get pure silver, the process used to be, it had to be refined 7 times. So in other words, it was placed in a furnace, it was heated up, the slag, the foul image things that were in it that were no good to for, that weren't pure silver, came to the top. It was then poured out, and then it was remelted again, and this process went on 7 times till that every bit of impurity was removed. And so, as you and I spend time with each other in the Word and coming together, we get in the furnace. And God's in that process of bringing us to a place of purity all the time. And so to say that just because you've got saved and you've been in, coming to church for 20 years, 30 years or 40 years, I know everything, you don't. Because God's not revealed everything to you yet.
You never know everything, do you?
No.
No, and it says in Scripture, not everything that Jesus did is even written in this book.
No.
It says the books, if you know,
the whole world
could not contain what Jesus has done.
I mean, it's very tricky, because when you come to think, you can have faith, but you can have unbelief, you can have hardness of heart, you can have all different things. So
absolutely.
You don't know your own heart, do you, really?
No.
When you come and
it's
deceitful and desperately wicked.
That's right. The Bible says your own heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. So you can deceive yourself.
Yeah,
you can actually have a spirit that comes along and deceives you and says, oh, you find your own. You stop at home, don't go out, and you're okay. Straight away, that has now frustrated what God's called you to do. Because your ministry is not to sit at home and hide away. Your ministry is to share the gospel. Your ministry is to lay hands on the sick and see them healed.
Yeah.
You can't do that at
home.
Isn't
it?
You see, sorry?
Going to school, right? It's like going to school, isn't it?
It
you
is.
Got to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you stay at home, you don't learn anything.
Exactly, no. And the Word of God says the Bible is the schoolmaster.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And He's there to correct you, to lead you, to direct you, and to teach you in the things that you should do.
Mm.
Spiritual food.
Absolutely. And so in that, this is not tonight's subject actually, but anyway.
Go with the flow.
But in that, you see, God is about, what God is wanting to do
in this is wanting to take all of you as individuals and develop you.
Yeah.
And mould you and shape you.
Mm.
To do that, you have to be in the potter's wheel.
Yeah.
To do that, you have to be in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And that now and again, you rub against one another, and God says, well, I'm going to rub you against Christine, and I'm going to rub some sharp edges off.
Mm.
I'm going to rub some rough edges off you, and I'm going to form you and shape you. And you see, hiding away and living just on your own will not give you a character.
No.
Won't give you a stick ability.
No.
It won't give you courage.
No.
It won't give you strength. Because hiding away, it means you're like, you're sitting somewhere, you've got, was that, when they have somebody who's got something wrong with them, and they put them in a tent, you know, and say, right, nobody goes near them, because if they could catch something, it would kill them.
Isolation,
that's it. So you put yourself in isolation. So if you know, so what you're saying is that if I catch anything spiritual, it might do some damage to me.
Yeah.
You put yourself in a sterile environment.
And so you put yourself in this sterile environment, and what, if you live in a sterile environment, you're in contact with nobody.
No.
So you're not interacting with anything in life,
no.
Are you?
It's harmful to you, isn't it?
It's not in the, mm. Yes, it is. It is harmful to you. That's good, that. It is harmful to you. You see, to be in life and to mix with people is you mature, you change. You've heard Bill. Bill has even said in these last few weeks how over the process that he's changed, and a lot of it has been by coming here. And, you know, he turns around now and says, this is my family.
Yeah.
And, I think
yeah.
that is great. Yeah. When somebody who, you know, has been coming along for a number of years and has got to that point where he says, this is my family.
Yeah, because you feel it. You can't describe
yeah,
it.
But, yeah, but you see, you can't feel it through a TV,
no.
Can you?
No.
No.
We're forming a bond, aren't we?
That's right. We're forming a bond, you know.
Yeah.
And for instance, you can write letters to people, and they can be misread, can't they?
Yeah.
But if you sit down and talk with somebody, you see their actions, you see their facial features, you see the way they express themselves.
Communicate as well.
Exactly. That's right. And you learn to communicate with one another, because that is something that some people can't communicate easily with people. But when you come together, you begin to communicate with one another, and so that is part of your learning and your growing process.
Mm.
And so church, if in one sense, is a safe environment where nobody condemns anybody, but at the same time, it's an environment that says, I'm going to rub some sharp edges off you. I'm going to knock some rough edges off you. I'm going to help you, you know, church is going to help you change and form you and mould you, because God has got you in the right place. He's got you on the potter's wheel, and he says, I'm going to make you the shape, and I'm going to form you into a vessel that is fit for service.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God is preparing you
yeah.
for. God wants you to be a vessel that is fit for service.
Yeah.
What's your service? The first service is that you learn to worship God.
Yeah.
And how do you worship God? You come together in a corporate body and worship God together as corporate believers. That's what he does for us. And so it is important that the word has come to give life to us, and the word has come to change you, and it's come to bring you from being lukewarm, bring you from being double-minded, to bring you to be single-eyed, motivated towards the principle and the kingdom of God, and brought you to that place where you will do the work of the kingdom. Jesus said, greater works shall ye do in my name.
Amen.
You can't do it
yeah.
sat watching a TV.
No. You get to open up and all, when you, especially on days on Wednesday.
That's right. On Wednesdays in particular, this
yeah.
is a great time, because I love it when people open up. Because you hear people's hearts.
Yeah.
Mm.
You hear where people have been during the week with God in that sense.
Yeah, you feel like when you get talking and you've all realised God's been talking to you.
Exactly.
Like as me and you. And I think, wow, that's marvellous. I've been doing all, you think, oh, it's marvellous.
And what you've got to...
It's because he speaks to us all, he wants us all to join together, and that's what we do.
Absolutely.
Because we share it, and we're eager to share it. We can't wait. I find I can't wait to say it. It's wonderful.
Different people have come and said, God said that to me, and the people have started sharing. Well, that's, I think, how we started on this subject of obedience, didn't we?
Yeah.
That a few people came and they were all, you were all on the same subject.
It was Ken started it.
Yeah, yeah. And literally we were all on the same subject, so it's like, I think God's trying to tell us something. So let's have a look at this subject of obedience. Well, we were going to look at it tonight, but we can leave that. We can continue on another night.
Well, it's like obedience.
It's obedience.
It's telling you what to do.
To the word.
What you've got to do as a Christian.
Yeah.
Because it is really, isn't
it? Yeah. We as disciples have got a function as a body. Yeah. And we have to function under the anointing of God. And the body functions under the anointing.
It's a joint anointing.
It's a corporate anointing. So it's not just me that's anointed.
That's what he says.
To preach.
Don't be too wrapped up in yourself and being anointed. You've got to
fetch a piece of
What I'm supposed to be doing is drawing other people in.
Yeah.
Right. To loose you from your bondages of fear that I can't speak. I'll never be able to do what Andrew does. Well, to some degree, no, you won't be able to do what Andrew does, because Andrew's different. Andrew's Andrew, right? You're all different. You've all got your own gift and your own strengths, right? And if you're not called to be a preacher, you won't be a preacher. But that does not stop you from sharing the word of God with people. Doesn't stop you. Because you're not called to preach, but you're called to share. Every one of us is to share.
Yeah. Paul says, doesn't he, when you come together, one bring a hymn, one bring a song, one bring a word, just all bring something.
Well, you get stronger.
Absolutely,
You know, you sort of get
encouraged.
And you learn as well.
You do.
Yeah.
It gives you a good feeling, though,
when
you're doing it. You can feel that
warmth
and
comfort.
You begin to glow a little bit.
Yeah.
That's how I feel when you're about that light from inside. I can feel it sometimes glowing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that the love you've given me has given me a terrific confidence. I mean, you've seen change in me, you know, and it's all down to you.
You see, it's just God at work in us to you, isn't it? You know, and this is the wonderful thing. How do you contact somebody? How does God get in touch with somebody? He uses people. And so sitting at home and not saying anything to anybody, or keeping yourself to yourself and not saying anything, the word will never get out. And I know
it
folks
is harmful as well.
It is harmful to you, because you actually don't give yourself confidence, and you actually lose your confidence.
You
lose the ability to communicate. And God created you to communicate, because if you read the beginning of the Bible, when God comes down in the cool of the evening, what did he do? He sat down and he communicated with Adam and Eve. It says they had conversation. They shared together. Right? This is what we're doing. Tonight we're sharing together with each other and with God. And we're listening to his Holy Spirit. This is a garden experience.
Several presenters on television will tell you, don't use my program as a substitute for
church.
You know, still go to church.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's what it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, sadly, there are others who... Well, suck them dry financially.
Yeah, that's
you know, send your offering to me, otherwise we'll go off air. We'll go off air. Because it's not scriptural. The word says, you know, bring your offering, bring your tithes to the storehouse.
And others will, I mean, where you've got those who will tell you what happens if you don't send an offering, others will tell you what happens if you don't send an offering.
Let it go.
Show the fruits of your donation. So one will get it, puts it like a threat, and the other puts it as a fruitful reward, a blessing.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is why you need to be an ear to know what God
says. That's right. The word guides us. The word guides us.
We have to be selective as to what we watch, I think.
The problem is, though, that there are a lot of people who aren't, sadly to say. If we take the nation as a whole and you see what are the popular programmes, I mean, if you look at the times when there's maximum viewing, look at the type of programmes we've got. The soap operas, as they're termed. Mm. I mean, it's garbage. Absolute garbage, right? And
we're always fighting.
Well, and can see that.
Well, exactly.
What does it give them?
This is people get drawn into this, and the sad thing is that people in church can be very much like people in the world, and they will just watch. They'll sit and watch anything. I mean, I knew some people who would say, "Oh, I can't do anything on the morning till I've had my quiz programme on TV." I'm like, what?
Jeremy Kyle.
Well, I don't know, because I mean, and you're like, what? You know, and you think, wow, this, and the Christians, you think, this is desperate. This is sad.
That's a Christian.
This is sad. This is. You know, it's like, it ought to be turning around and say, well, I can't do anything until I've had my time with God. Mm. But it's like, no, I can't do anything until I've had my quiz programme on morning TV. And it's like, what? Wow. This is desperate, you know. This is an addiction, in fact. Isn't it? You know? And they're addicted to the wrong thing. And then they wonder why they're not spiritually strong, they wonder why they're not growing, they wonder why there's no signs, wonders, why there's no miracles, they wonder why is there no fruit, they're not even sharing the Word of God, because they're not actually getting anything from the Word of God, because they're not even in the Word of God. If you want to get something from the Word of God, you've actually got to get into it and let the Word get into you.
Because God can't get near you, can he?
No.
If you're watching quizzes and...
No. And you know, even at times when you're watching a Christian programme, there are times when there should be, you should have your personal quiet time with the Lord.
Mm.
Because he wants to talk to you. And he wants you to talk to him. But you see, we live in a society, when you go shopping today, guess what happens? The moment you're walking through a store doorway, what hits your senses first?
Music.
Yeah.
I was just saying to Rita today, everywhere you go,
they
can't be quiet.
Oh. You've got drives me nuts. And the volume, usually nowadays, is up at another level, where it's after a while you think, somebody comes, an assistant comes, says, "Can I help you?" He said, "No, thanks, because I just can't handle this music. I'm leaving." And the music they've got, you know, they say, "Oh, it's to give make it more pleasant and give an ambience for your shopping." Yeah, and it's boom, boom, boom. And you're thinking,
because you want to concentrate.
Let me get out. Yeah, exactly. I need to concentrate. And it's like, I mean, we've been in something like a Burger King one time, didn't we? And we wanted to, there was quite a dozen of us, and we wanted to have something to eat, we wanted to sit and talk, and they put us right under the speaker.
Yeah.
And it was lunchtime, and there were just about all of us in, and I turned to the manager, I said, "We've come here to eat, and we've come to chat, and what have you." I said, "I don't really need to be hearing this, can you turn it down a bit?" And we ordered his meals and that, and he still hadn't turned it down, so I asked him again politely. A few minutes went by, still hadn't turned it down. So I called him over again. I said, "Look, we haven't got his meal yet. We've ordered it." I said, "If you don't turn it down, we're actually going to get up and walk out. We're looking for the key. We're looking for the key." I said, "Well, you've got a couple of minutes left, and then we're leaving." It went down. Mm. I'm the customer. Customer's right. Okay. I don't want to be bombarded all day with music. I want to be able to hear what you're saying. I don't want to be distracted by everything else. But, you see, this is what's happening. This is a way that the world is actually programming people. They cannot. The word says, "Be still and know that I am God."
It used to be quiet, though, didn't it?
Yeah, but you see, we can't handle quietness. Any people cannot handle quietness. Do you know why? Because they're afraid of their own thoughts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's not just the music as well; it's the lyrics you hear. You think, oh, how has this been? Well, how is this a song? Who's going to buy these? The lyrics? What? Oh, wow.
In hospital, when you're not very well, one of the recommendations is if you have a personal stereo and you walk around listening to it rather than being quiet. And that just blocks everything out, isn't it? You know, I can see a couple of people now walking around with the stereos and the earphones. Yeah.
A lot of it depends. I mean, the purpose of music is to be listened to.
Yeah.
It's just audible wallpaper, then it's not being listened to. Because that's what it is. It's like elevator music. I mean, when you go into an elevator, you sing, "Oh, this is my favourite." Would you put a chair up and put your feet up and stay there listening to it? No, it's just too noisy.
Yeah.
It is. But you see, the word, God's word says, "Be still and know that I am God." And you see him today, they can't sit still. They can't be still in the presence of God. I mean, if you get a quiet point in church, and the Holy Spirit wants to move, you will find that somebody will freak out and want to strike up a song. I've seen it done over years in past. I have been in situations where the Holy Spirit has begun to move into a church, move through a meeting, and then somebody's decided that he can't handle this quietness, so I'll strike up a song. And the moment he struck up a song, that's it, the Holy Spirit's left, because now you've just removed the anointing, you've driven him out. I've seen it before, time and time again. See, the Holy Spirit is described as a dove. And they're easily frightened and disturbed. Not that the Holy Spirit is afraid in that sense, but it's like, if you're not prepared to be still and listen to me and let me begin to minister to you, then obviously I'll leave. Because
that's one of the keys with John Wimber.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff happened, but you had to sit in silence, maybe for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, quarter of an hour, and then suddenly the Holy Spirit would start to move.
In our youth meeting in the church that we used to be in previously, I remember one night God told me, he says, "All you're going to do is just say we're going to just wait on the Holy Spirit." We didn't do anything else. We just put the chairs in a circle. There must have been close to nearly 50 of us, weren't there? And we just sat in a circle and we said, "We're just going to wait on God and just let the Holy Spirit come." And guess what? He did.
Yeah.
And I told you the story of a girl called Diane, and she was allergic to dilute orange juice. And she would, if she had any dilute orange juice, her body would automatically react and she would swell up and literally couldn't breathe. And she was allergic to it. And that night God came, and by the power of his Spirit he delivered her from that allergy of orange juice. And she went home that night. Nobody told her to do this, but she went home that night, she got some dilute orange juice, and she downed a great big glass of it. No reaction. And she's never had a reaction since. And I've seen her recently. Mm-hmm. And that's over 20 odd years ago. Is that not true? You were present, weren't you?
Yeah.
What's the benefit of that? I mean, can't you just abstain from orange juice?
No. The fact is that we should not be in any way subject
to not
have certain things. Mm-hmm. Right? God did not make us to be allergic to things, right? Mm. And the thing is that God wanted to show how much he loved her. Right? Because that's one thing she... And I don't know why God did it. But he did it. And I mean, I'm highlighting that one thing. But that night, God ministered to many people that night, didn't he?
Mm.
And touched lives, and nobody touched them. But the Spirit of God just came down in that room and went round people. And the power of God came on them. And there, some were delivered, some were healed, some were touched in different ways in their lives. And it was just purely about the very presence of the Holy Spirit. And how did it happen? It happened simply because we were still, we were quiet, and we asked him to come.
Mm.
We invited the Holy Spirit in and we gave him the space.
And did you say in quietness and confidence? I've got
yeah. Yeah. In quietness and confidence will be your strength.
Because he's your strength.
Yeah, God is your strength. Mm-hmm. Right? And the Holy Spirit has come to empower us. The problem is, you see, we're not being empowered to witness and to testify because we're not spending time. We're not allowing the Holy Spirit to come into our lives to that level that he wants to take hold of us and direct us. And for me, when that happened in that church, I mean, not only did it happen in that church, it happened when we had some young people away for a week. God again moved in a powerful way. And what did we do? We sang songs that worshipped him, and then we waited on God. Nobody preached that night. We waited on God, and the presence of God came in. And for the next 5 hours, the Holy Spirit moved. Nobody did anything but waited on the Holy Spirit, and he moved and he dealt with people's lives, dealt with Helen in a powerful way that night. She prayed for 10 minutes. And after 5 minutes, I thought, I know everybody here in the room. I know every voice. And I thought, who is it? Because I thought, it can't be Helen. That's a certainty. And I was stood at the front of the church with my back to everybody. And I just thought, I've got to turn around and find out who this is because I am lost. And I turned around, and it was Helen. And she'd been praying for 5 minutes. She'd never prayed out loud before. Right? If you'd have asked her to pray, she'd have told you what you can do as a rebellious young person. I'm serious. Yeah. I'm not pulling any punches. No, I'm telling you as it was, right? Yeah. I'm not hiding anything. This is as it was. Yeah. This was how Helen was. And if you'd have said, lift your arms up, we'll worship God together, she said, she'd have just folded and looked at you and said, yeah, and you know what you can do. You're not telling me what to do. Well, I turned round, Ellen's praying, she'd been praying for 5 minutes, and she got both arms up in the air. And I looked and I just went, there is only one thing that has got to be God, because it is not man, and it's not Helen in any shape or form. Was that true?
Only God can do it.
Only God can do things like that. One guy, I mean, bless him, not so long ago, Stephen, you might remember Steve, that other church, when we choruses, if they were clapping or anything, he'd sit there with his arms folded. Won't stand up, won't clap, just mouth it out. You know, won't clap, won't move, didn't get involved, not moved. Well, that night, we were stood up waiting on God, and all of a sudden I heard these chairs go. I turn around, he's flat on his face.
Oh dear.
Gone through a pile of chairs. Flat out. Nobody touched him. And he's saying, no, no. And he's got his fist clenched and he's banging the floor, saying, no, no, no. And his feet came up in the air and started clapping. And I'm like, there's only God got this sort of sense of humour. And he came to me the next day, him and his girlfriend, and said, Andrew, after last night, whatever you ask us to do, we will do it. We want to do what God tells us to do.
Amen.
That was the effect. Yeah, he goes out on missions work now. That was the effect of the Holy Spirit coming in into a meeting where we invited him to come in. There was nothing manipulated, there was no hype, nothing, but there was giving space, there was giving time, there was giving quietness and rest. The Spirit of God might come in and begin to do the work that he came to do.
If you notice, God didn't go against his will, he still didn't clap with his hands.
No, he didn't clap with his hand. He made him clap with his feet. But it was a changing point in his life.
Yeah.
That was the thing, because as I said, the next day he came to me and I sat down and said to him, whatever you want us to do, we will do it. And I thought, that has got to be God. This is God. You see, for me, I want to see God at work, not man at work.
Amen.
Right? You know, we have these signs, don't we? You know, for men at work, with umbrella, you know, looks like an open umbrella. I don't want to see umbrellas keeping the rain of God off, keeping the anointing of God off us. I want to see God at work, not men at work. And the trouble is today, there's so many men at work trying to bring anointing, trying to create an anointing, trying to create an atmosphere. We do it by light, smoke machines, flashing lights, music, and we try and create this atmosphere. Billy Graham really didn't create an atmosphere. He simply had a choir made up of the local people that sang. He had a testimony from somebody, maybe somebody who was fairly well known in the area.
Play football, isn't
it? Might have been a footballer. And one time it was Cliff Richard when we were there, you know, but that, all that was, they, it just drew probably the crowd in that sense, and then he got up and he preached the gospel. He didn't sort of create an atmosphere and wind them up into a frenzy. He told them as it is. He took the knife out, didn't he, and he cut them up into pieces and said, this is it, I'm exposing you as you are before God. And this is what God wants for you, and this is what God wants to change your life. And to change your life, you have to accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. Make him Lord of your life. And he didn't wrap it up in fancy paper. He didn't wrap it up in smoke machines and flashing lights. And he said, if you really want Christ, then you better come down from them seats, from them wherever you sat, and come down onto this field and publicly declare. Because Jesus publicly died for you upon a cross. So publicly come and declare that you want Christ and that you are going to make him Lord of your life right now.
It would hit pretty hard. It says somebody in this arena will be dead by this time tomorrow. Absolutely. Are you ready? Yeah. Are you ready? If you die tonight, are you ready?
Absolutely.
Do you know where you're going to be?
Don't wrap it up and couch it. You see, today we live in, you know, in one sense we live in a society where we say, oh, well, we're getting people to a point where they just accept murder as well. That's how it happens, you know, and because we put it on TV, and we're getting people to a point where they're moved by these things. The thing is, though, that, and yet then we talk on the other hand, oh, you don't want to be upsetting people and all this, and yet we're doing just the opposite with what we're putting on TV. And yet if somebody in church starts to say what Billy Graham used to say, oh, you're frightening people into the kingdom. Well, no, I'm telling the truth. This is how it is. If you don't accept Jesus Christ tonight, and you go out tonight, and you get hit by a bus, well, guess what? You're not going to heaven, you're going to hell. That's the simple answer to it all. There is no... There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ.
So you'll never get another chance like this tonight?
No.
People will say, I know I've got to make my peace with God, I've got to make my relationship with Jesus, but not tonight, I'll do it some other time.
There may never be another time.
I had a 15-year-old student that was going to wait till he was 60, and he got killed in a car accident at 16.
Too late.
I mean, let's be honest, there are people, right? I know of somebody who was washing his car one day. He was a fit young man, he was a minor, and he was out washing his car. And you know what it's like when you're washing the outside of your car, you bend down and, you know, fell on the floor like that, died of a brain hemorrhage immediately. He's in his early mid-20s. And he died like that.
Now,
you know, you can't turn around and say to me, oh, when I get to 60 or when I get to 70, then I'll make my peace with God. Because you don't know you're even going to get to that time.
No. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
I know I'm going to get to 60 because I've already passed it. Like, but, but I, you know, I've already made peace with God. But Bill cut that bit out, don't worry.
As long as you know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Exactly right. You today have the breath and the energy for today.
Yeah.
I am not promised tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow holds for me. And you know, I'm not going to be worried about tomorrow. Sufficient, right? Unto the day thereof.
Yesterday's gone, tomorrow's not guaranteed.
Absolutely. What's that other one? Yesterday's history.
Tomorrow's
a mystery.
Tomorrow never comes.
And today
is a blessing,
is a gift from God.
Oh, yeah. It's a gift from God.
Yeah. So, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift from God. That's why it's called the present.
Mm.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So, we've got a present today. We've got a gift from God today. The present that we're living in. Tomorrow, it's a mystery. I don't know really what tomorrow holds. I can walk into the office and it can be totally different. You know, I can say, well, I'm going to do this, this and this, and I walk in and everything changes.
Live each day like it's your last.
Exactly. And live it unto God
as
if it's your last, yeah. And as you say, as we're saying, you know, Nobody's promised another day. And we just got to realise that this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
This is the day, and this is the day to take.
Yes.
Right? And this is the day to spread the word of the gospel to people and tell them that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and he died for their sins, he died for their sicknesses, died for their diseases, and he's come to set them free, and he's come to give them eternal life. Right? And I just tell as many people as I can. A little one today, was it today or yesterday? Yesterday. A couple of weeks ago, I got some welding done for a neighbour through somebody who is near where our office is. And this chap said, oh, he didn't want anything. And I saw him yesterday and we were chatting and that. He said, I like to read a lot. I said, oh, do you? He said, yeah. He said, do you think you could find me a Bible out? He says, I'm a Christian, right? But he says, I haven't got a Bible. So he says, I won't mind, you know, could you get me a Bible? I said, no trouble. I said, I'll sort something out for you. I sorted it out today, but he's not been around today. So tomorrow, tomorrow I shall see him. It's on my desk ready to give to him. A nice Bible. You know?
Strange, isn't it? I'm a Christian, but I haven't got a Bible.
I think he thinks he's
been. Lives in a Christian country, Christian, feels he don't do many things wrong, you see.
Yeah. That way you go to hospital, everybody's Church of
England. What religion are you? Oh, Christian or Church of England, you know. Yeah. But they've never been. Well, they went when they're christened, and they're probably going to go when they bury them. But what happens in between?
Like I told you one time, somebody said to me about believers that they went through the pearly gates. And, well, I believe in God. As if that's all it takes.
Well, exactly. Well, it does.
Some people, that's how they are, isn't it?
The devil believes in God, but is he going to heaven?
No. He's had his chance, hasn't he?
Absolutely.
He got cast out.
Yeah.
Right. Fallen angel, wasn't
he? Yeah. Yeah. So, and in what? I better not just go on that run as well. No, I'll hang off that one. But, yeah, you know, the fact is that it's about relationship. God wants to be married to you.
Yeah.
Right? It's about living together.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, married to you. God living with you. 24 hours a day. I mean, it'd be strange, wouldn't it, if, you know, Grace and I are married and that we only saw each other once a week and she went and lived somewhere else and I lived somewhere else and then just once a week we sort of met up. It'd be odd sort of marriage, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It'd be strange. You think?
Like you watched Rob Dellett.
You think, that's odd, isn't it? Mm. What sort of relationship? You'd all be saying, what sort of relationship is that? Weird. You know, you'd be saying that there's something wrong there, isn't there? Maybe they're not really married. Right? Are these people really? And I know we use the word, it's widely used, the word Christian, and you know I've said, I try not to use it. I call it, are you a disciple? Because a disciple is somebody that's in relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Somebody who spends time in the Word. A disciple is a disciplined follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say I'm a disciple or can you say I'm a Christian? That's where we're at, you know. I suppose in one sense, if we went back to that scripture where it says, where God looks at the church in Revelation and says, well, you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of your mouth. There are a lot of people who say they're Christians and they're just lukewarm. You find disciples are usually red hot and they're going for God.
You see, when you are a disciple, you hunger for God.
Yeah, you do.
You want to do what he says,
yeah,
because you love him. You can't do no other.
And you want to be where he is.
You do want it. And when you... I study his word and that and I'm doing things with him and I get excited.
Yeah.
I can be in a house on my own and I can feel him with me. I don't feel, you don't feel the loneliness at all.
No.
You just don't feel it, it's not there.
No.
You've got life, joy, happiness that you've never known before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's a Christian when the circumstances are right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Winston Churchill once said, I never saw an atheist in life, but
No. No. Mm. Yeah. Mm. It's very true. So, but we, you know, we take it, I believe the Word of God takes it deeper, takes it to a stronger point when Jesus says, go out and make disciples of all men. A disciple is a disciplined follower of the Lord Jesus Christ who follows his teaching, who gets to know him and allows him to be known to God. And so there's that.
His word.
That's right. And there's that openness that we have. Mm. And we're all in that process of growing and developing in God. And it's important that the Word is foremost in our life. And that each time we come together, we're sharing part of that anointing. Because when you spend time in God's Word, you are being anointed. Because Jesus said that he was the Word, right? But he also said he's the anointed one, right? See, Jesus Christ, Christ means the anointed one, okay? So he, the anointed one, is the Word. So the moment that you get into the Word, you start to come under the Anointed One, and his anointing rubs off on you. His anointing soaks into you. And that's what we're doing when we spend time in the Word. We're actually being filled. We don't realise it. We're drinking of spiritual food and eating of spiritual food, and we don't realise it at the time. God is filling us.
And he's a living word.
And he's a living word. It's not a dead word. It's not a letter that killeth. This is the word that brings life. Because he said in John's Gospel, I've come that you might have life. Right? And more abundantly. And that's what this word is about. Yeah, John 10:10, just in case anybody don't know. That's what this word is about. The Bible is about. Jesus, the New Testament, is about life in the kingdom, living with the King. Of the kingdom. You see? It's that relationship that we have with him, living with the King in the kingdom of God.
And that's how you keep the enemy away.
Absolutely.
Because he just won't come anywhere near you if you feed him with the word.
That's right. A lot of churches you go to, though, you don't take part, do you? A lot of them, the big churches, you just stand there and you get, they're reading you the message, you're not sharing, you're not involved, there's not the communication, the closeness. There's nothing, is there, really, when you're church? They have a big audience, don't they? But it's not the same as our small. We're involved. Do you know what I mean? We're part of. We share. We care. We're family.
Mm.
We have feelings. Do you know what I mean? We know each other. In them big churches, they don't know anybody, do they? Do you know what I mean?
No.
Often not.
That's where it can fail to provide what it's meant. I mean. Take, for example, somebody visiting here from Edinburgh and they're really hurting, got real problems. You end up advising them to go and find a church.
Mm.
So they do, they're back to Edinburgh, they see one of these Gothic buildings and they walk in and will not get any comfort for their pain because it's an entertainment centre, it's a theatre.
Yeah.
It's finding the body.
Mm.
It's Again, you see... As you say, they look at these Gothic buildings and they call it church.
Mm.
But actually,
it's a church building.
It's a church building.
Mm.
It's what houses the church. It's a house for the church. Right? You and I together are the church.
Yeah.
And we can go, we can rent a barn and go in there and we are the church.
Mm.
It's still a barn.
Mm.
But what we do when we go in there, when we come together, we come together as the church. It's not a building. You see, again, this is where things get mixed up and have begun, you know. You read the dictionary, church. And what does it say in a dictionary about what a church is? It doesn't say it's made up of people,
no.
Does it? It probably say, well, it's a building that's been dedicated and sanctified for the work of God. It's a right statement, but it's still, it's right to some degree, but it's a building, it really is a building that has been dedicated to the work and the service of God. And what happens in there is people gather together as the Church of Jesus Christ. That's what the statement should say. And when we come together as the body, the Church of Jesus Christ. Because the church is made up of lively stones.
not bricks stuck together with cement. We're stuck together with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We're not stuck you see, we shouldn't be stuck together on doctrine, because the moment that we get that the Lord works on our doctrine and begins to change our thinking a bit, we'll fall out. Mm. So we have to be stuck together on Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Mm. Because we are not always right, and what we believed, what I believed 20 years ago, some of that has changed.
Mm.
And if we are being formed and transformed into the image of God, mm. we're in a process of constantly learning. When you went to primary school, you didn't spend the first 4 years in primary school and they said, "There you are, Pat. You're all right now. On your way." They said, "No, love, you've just begun." "What? I've just done 4 years. I mean, how many more years do I have to do in school?" "You're going to junior school." That's what they did to us. And then you spent, another 3-4 years in junior school, and you thought, "I've had 5 or 6, 7 years in school now. Ain't it over?" "No, love. You're going up to senior school." "Why?" And then you went, they're still taught you the same subjects, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
But they taught it in deeper detail and context and content, and it got deeper. Because you did maths when you were in infants, didn't you? And then when you get to senior school, you're still doing maths, and call it trigonometry. What? Can I go back to primary school? If that were easier, you know. But so there's this process. Yes, you mature. Yeah. There's this maturing, you see, in the natural. So in the spiritual.
Yeah.
There has to be a maturing in the things of the Spirit of God. You can't just suddenly say, "I'm saved. I've read my Bible once. I'm okay. I've arrived. I know it all." You don't, love. You don't.
You learn something.
You've just got your foot on the ladder. You know, you start climbing the ladder.
It's a journey.
Thank you. That I like that. It is. It is a journey. And as you travel on a journey, you see different things as you travel. You know, you might travel on a long plain area and you see the fields and crops and different crops. And then next thing you're into the hills and you see different types of crops and you see animals and different trees, and you might travel into the mountains, and again you'll see different trees in the mountains to what there is lower down.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you?
No, go through Midwest of the USA, and it's all brown.
Tornadoes.
And so, as the journey goes on, so you see different things, and so by suddenly saying, "Well, you know, I've lived in the valleys and I know what it's like," you know. Have you ever lived in the mountain?
I was just going to say that.
Why? Is it different? Is it different? They have different animals, they have different bird life, they have different insects, they have different trees and plantation. Yes, it is different. Right? And they even have snow. Oh, snow? I mean, you talk to some people and they've never seen snow before. Snow? What's that? It's a journey that we travel with God, spiritually speaking. So this book is being opened to us and revealed to us every day. God wants to reveal something different of himself. You can't just visit God once and say, "Oh, I've been and seen God, I know what he looks like." You don't. Clueless about what God looks like. But you say, "Oh, I went and had a conversation with God, and I know exactly what he thinks and what's in his mind." You don't. If you think by a brief encounter with God you know God, then you've got another thing coming. Because let me tell you this, you can have a brief encounter with me and you might think you know me, but you don't. And I'm not as complicated as God. I'm not as deep as God. And so with everybody else. And as we spend time with each other, we get to know each other in a different way. I didn't realise Bill like that. And you know, you say, "Well, I've known him 10 years and I didn't know that about Bill." Mm. It's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, Bill and I, we laugh our paths.
crossed when we were teenagers. Yet neither of us remember, but we remember the people that were there in our lives, that we were actually connected with a little bit, and so our paths definitely crossed. But yet we never remember each other.
That's the same with me and Roy. I used to go work at Turin College with this girl, and she was going out with a lad that were a teddy boy at Barrowcaff, and I went with her one day, and it must have been Roy, because him and Ron Rothwell used to go as teddy boys, and I didn't come out years ago. Oh, I didn't yeah. know it was him.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, paths cross, and yet we didn't know each other. When we met 12, 13 years ago or whatever, we didn't realise our paths had crossed, did we? It's only that as we chatted over a period of time, it's like, never. You were there then? Yeah. Well, I was. Do you know? Yeah, but we never connected.
Because you have your own little group, don't you?
Yeah, it was strange, but he was in a group, and I used to follow his group a bit, and yet we never connected.
Mm.
Strange. Yeah. But you see, when the time's right, when God begins to move everything, by his mighty hand that puts them in the right position and place. It wasn't time for me to meet Bill.
Yeah.
It says in the Bible, in the fullness of time.
In the fullness of time.
Yeah.
When God has planned and changed all things, and placed them in his rightful place, in the fullness of time, God brings these things together. You see? We knew you for many years.
Yeah.
Right? But in the fullness of time.
Yeah.
See? We don't understand the mysteries. We don't understand at times what God is doing. This young man here taught him in Sunday school. He probably can't remember. It's that long ago. His parents were in charge of Sunday school. I taught at his parents' Sunday school. I went to his house for tea. He can't remember. Well, sorry, not him. Sorry, I taught his father, should I say, shouldn't I really?
Yeah.
My apologies. I taught his, taught his father, sorry. He's seeing him and seeing his father. Well, it was his mother I taught. Grace taught his father. And it's like, and here, now he turns up. It's quite amazing, isn't it, that how you go through a process and then suddenly, from way back, somebody from the family is then reconnected.
Yeah.
It's quite amazing. You see, God's got his eye on things, God's got his hands on things, and he's keeping all things in order. And he will bring all things together, because God has a plan. If we allow God, God has a plan for your life. And he's got it worked out for you. But it's becoming a disciple and submitting to his plans.
Yeah.
Submitting to his hand of authority on you, to direct your life, and he will take you through circumstances at times that, well, may be a little bit difficult, but they're about forming you, about creating you so that you are strong and that you are powerful in the things of God.
Well, me and Pat believe that.
Yeah,
we believe we were brought together through what I went through, so I knew I could help her.
Yeah. And you see,
immediately I got to know, wanted to know.
Yeah.
If I hadn't done, I probably wouldn't have never
no.
been like we are.
And you see,
well, I don't know what would have happened to me.
No. Well, you see, God does, because he had his hand on, you see.
Yeah.
We don't know. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future.
Yeah.
That's the difference. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future, and that's God. If, as a disciple, that's God. He holds our future. And so God's already prepared the pathway for you two to meet up. He's already also, on top of that, prepared the pathway that you would then meet up with us.
Yeah, and he did with the houses that we were going to get.
Well, that was another one.
Us.
Yeah.
In those houses.
Exactly.
The
amazing.
The ultimate goal was for you to come and meet Jesus.
Absolutely,
that's right.
The, you know, the final thing
amazing.
Was the fact that was that we were to be used as the people that introduced you to a real relationship with Jesus Christ.
Mm.
See, it's all about love as well. Because I'm going back to when Grace stopped me. and I'd just moved into that house where I am now, that bungalow, and I've known Grace for years, worked with her, and I always loved her to bits. I really did. I just loved her to bits. She just shone out of you. And I didn't realise then that, I didn't really realise about Christ and about being a Christian, and now you realise about that. All I knew is I loved you, and I loved you both. And look how that works. You see, I just knew that love. I could feel that love. I mean, not everybody. I think not everybody wants to accept that love. I think
no.
Some people, but that love, and you learn all about it, don't you? You learn it with, and I've learned about that love, and how you drew me to you. And then, you see, I just knew as well. Whatever you told me, I knew you it was truth. I knew you wouldn't lie to me. I just knew.
But God built that trust in you.
Yeah.
And it was God's love that was reaching out to you. From me, it's all God, isn't it?
It is. It's yeah.
Now we've almost intertwined like that.
You see,
it's amazing.
It is a bit as we're a disciple that the love of God flows through you and to you, and that's how you connect with people and speak into their lives and encourage them and make contact with them and help them. It's not. You know, we all come from different backgrounds, and in one sense, you could say, well, some of you won't even mix. But you see, when we come to a place with God in our life, we've got that central point.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is our central point. All things emanate from him. All things come from him. All things belong to him. That's our central point. I say, well, I'll go back to Jesus. And so we keep meeting. Because we keep meeting Jesus. And that's what keeps us together. He's the peace, he's the love, he's the joy, he's the power, he's the resurrection life of all things. And it's that to you and to me as we keep coming backwards and forwards together. That's what keeps us together.
It says God draws us with the cords of love.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When I was talking to the neighbour on Friday, and I said to her, please keep me posted as to what's happening. And she said, I will. And she walked down the path, and I just wanted to get hold of her and give her a big hug. And she stopped and she looked back, and I could see there was something in her just wanting to respond, and I didn't, and I should have done. But you just, sometimes you don't want to barge in, do you?
She's a very lovely person.
Away. Yeah.
Very lovely
but I
person.
Sensed there was a love connection there, and it was from God. And so I really do feel it is an important thing, that love of God, it draws me, it's drawn to Jesus, and it's Jesus in us that it's drawing.
Praise his name.
Tom, we started tonight's message.
I just looked in the watch. I think we're probably round about now we get started. Oh well, I'll put them notes away.
Another day when you get back.
I'll finish them off when I get back. Glory to Jesus.
You're not nipping back next week then.
No, I tell you what, shall we do it? I have to be honest.
You could do it over Skype.
I'll do it over Skype. Can we do it over Skype? Yeah. I must admit, you know, when we travel and when we're travelling where we're going this time again, we're in a situation where families are not attending church.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, we shall be missing you.
We shall be missing you
because most of the time we'll not get any church attendance, and we shall be missing you. And I'm serious about that, because it's like when you get home, you think, oh, thank God I'm home. It's like, you know, it's like being, I'm addicted to you, mate. And that's what it's about. I'm addicted to you, because I'm addicted to Jesus. I'm addicted to the body of Christ. Because it's part of me, and you're part.
Year.
I'm part of you, and you're part of me.
It's about big, something big's missing.
Can you put
it's
me in your suitcase?
Might have to lose a bit of weight, love.
I'll try for next year.
25 kilograms.
You won't miss me then if you took me with you.
Were you at the same school, by the way?
No, we didn't. No, I went to Brampton Ellis.
Is that a senior school? Is that a
secondary
school?
No. They were a junior and secondary school in Brampton Ellis. No, it was senior school as well. The one at the top on what, not Rampton,
Brampton.
You have to watch it, you know. I've got to make sure you get that little bit extra on bottom, not Rampton, Brampton.
But funnily enough, when I went to Wath, there were some people who were in this school, was Brampton, now it is, so could they graduate from the junior school?
Yeah, yeah, because what would happen is, for instance, if you're in junior school and you got your 11 plus, you went to Wath Grammar. Yeah, that's what happened. Well, I didn't get my 11 plus, so I had to go to comprehensive down the hill. So, because where the junior school is on the top road, as you know what I mean? Well, immediately below that is where the senior school was.